Customized business strategy. Where do you start when building an organization's strategy? Part of the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary definition of strategy is that it identifies how the company will function in its environment. The best place to start is to envision what the future should look like, or to begin with the end in mind. Setting clear goals will drive other decisions. After looking at the goals of business strategy, we will cover four examples of specific business strategies in detail: customer focus and alignment, the forecast-driven enterprise, the demand-driven enterprise, and product-type-driven supply chains. Goals of business strategy and impact on supply chain strategy. The goals of business strategy should relate to those higher organizational strategy objectives: how the organization will satisfy customers, grow its vertical/horizontal footprint, thrive in its competitive environment, and increase market share, identify, develop, and maintain core competencies, manage operations and partner relations, learn and grow, innovate, and make a profit. Whatever strategy the organization adopts to satisfy customers, grow, compete, organize itself, and make money, the supply chain has to operate in a manner that furthers those goals. To give a simple example, if customers are demanding deeply discounted prices on durable, high-volume goods with stable demand, a supply chain strategy that focuses on low-cost sourcing and/or capital expenditure with justified return on investment, ROI, would be on target to accomplish that goal. In the case of equipment investments, ROI would need to come in the form of lower labor costs, greater throughput, or increased economies of scale. Horizontal supply chains will contain a number of independent organizations, each with its own goals, processes, operations, technology, and strategy. So, when we refer to the necessity of aligning supply chain strategy with organizational and business strategy, we are referring to the strategies of a channel master or nucleus firm. Traditionally, that's the manufacturer of a product, the company that sits right at the center of the supply chain or network, with suppliers in tiers on one side and customers on the other. However, if a supply chain has a dominant company with a dominating strategy, one that is dictating its requirements to others, for example, a large retailer, then supplier and manufacturer strategies and goals must align with that retailer's organizational, business, and supply chain strategies. The suppliers of suppliers also have strategies to be brought into alignment. Finally, the strategies, once aligned, have to meet two broad goals: to serve the end customer's needs and to be profitable for the supply chain as a whole and each company individually. Strategy, customer focus, and alignment. Organizations with a customer focus and alignment prioritize what's good for the customer, not what's good for the nucleus company, or even what seems to be good for the supply chain itself. The matching supply chain strategy, therefore, needs to be focused on giving the final customer the right product at the right time and place for the right price. It isn't necessarily about the most advanced product or service, nor is it always about the lowest price, the fastest time, or the most convenient place. It's about the balance of quality, price, and availability, timing, and place that's just right for the customer. How does one determine what is the right amount of each of these factors? Here are some basic premises that will help supply chain managers get started in determining the appropriate balance to enable this strategy. Serving the end user customer is the primary driver of supply chain decisions. Organizations in the supply chain have to make a profit and stay in business to serve the customer. Functional teams in the organization will provide their input and research on the optimal balance for the supply chain to meet customer needs. Design engineers, or better yet, design teams from across the network, design products that are right for the end customer and can be sold profitably. Market research looks for the true, and not always obvious, needs and potential consumers that the supply chain can be engineered to satisfy profitably. Logistics strategy begins with data about customer demands for availability of materials, components, service, or finished products, depending upon the customer, and then it looks for ways to move products in a cost-effective way with acceptable risk. That is, decisions are not just about product features or price or speed delivery. They are about the right features at the right price on the right schedule. The term customer can be a complex concept in relation to supply chains because there may be multiple customers with different stakes in the process. When we talk about customer focus, we mean the end user, the consumer of the product. But perhaps only the retailer actually sees the end user and has a direct relationship with that person or entity. Everyone else in the supply chain has a more immediate customer just downstream before one gets to this ultimate customer. If the supply chain is completely aligned in its focus on the end customer, then at least in theory, serving the customer just to an organization's downstream side would automatically serve the end user and also be in the supplying organization's best interest as well as the interest of investors. Within each supply chain partner, there are internal customers whose needs also must be aligned with corporate and supply chain strategies. Each manager must understand his or her role in making the supply chain profitable, and staff, too, must be rewarded, motivated, and trained in alignment with the needs of the supply chain's end customer. Consider sustainable supply chain management, which is basically a supply chain that works to maximize the positive long-term social and environmental impact of its actions while remaining profitable. Successfully managing for sustainability requires a strategic mindset involving numerous personnel and financial resources and a commitment from suppliers in multiple tiers, as well as consumers further up the supply chain. Departments must cooperate with other departments in their organization, for example, purchasing, environmental or design departments, and with their counterparts at suppliers. This type of collaboration between supply chain partners necessitates breaking down cultural barriers and building a culture of trust to ensure that the focus is on end-to-end supply chain activities. Strategy, forecast-driven enterprise. Another example of a specific business strategy is the forecast-driven enterprise. Simply put, this strategy is one in which the nucleus company, usually the manufacturer, uses a forecast, an estimate of future demand, as the basis of its business strategy. When a supply chain works in response to forecasts, it's called a push system, and it entails the following, as described in the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary. 1. In production, the production of items at times required by a given schedule planned in advance. 2. In material control, the issuing of material according to a given schedule or issuing material to a job order at its start time. 3. In distribution, a system for replenishing field warehouse inventories in which replenishment decision-making is centralized, usually at the manufacturing site or central supply facility. Everything in a push system is pushed downstream from one point to the next according to schedules based on the forecasts. The supplier delivers components in the amounts determined by the schedule to inventory, where they await use in manufacturing. The plant turns them into finished products and pushes the products to the distribution center or the retailer, where they await an order from downstream. Here is the complicating factor. It is difficult to know what customer requirements will be from day to day, month to month, quarter to quarter, and so on. If a manufacturer knew its customers were going to need 1,000 SKUs, stock keeping units, every Wednesday afternoon, then getting those products to customers at the right time and place would be a matter of simple calculation based upon lead times for production and delivery. The manufacturer would look at the bill of material, determine the lead time for each item listed, and submit schedules to its suppliers. Unfortunately, it's difficult to predict even the most stable demand, say, for a product like diapers. There is some variability in demand for diapers, even though they aren't subject to seasonal changes and are in demand in all economic cycles. However, they are subject to the bullwhip effect. That's why Procter & Gamble provides vendor-managed inventory, VMI, to Walmart to plan for demand and replenishment of diapers. In situations outside this kind of partnership, forecasting along the supply chain may work like this. The retailer forecasts demand from parents who purchase diapers. The wholesaler forecasts demand from all its retailers. The manufacturer forecasts demand from the wholesale distributors. The component suppliers forecast demand from manufacturers. The raw materials suppliers forecast demand from the component manufacturers. How effective is this strategy? Here's how forecasting error and the bullwhip effect can make this push strategy less effective. Parents vary their diaper buying patterns in fairly small increments due to factors nobody fully understands. They may go to different stores for a change, shop on Tuesday instead of Wednesday, or buy 2 or 3 weeks' worth at one time because the diapers are on sale. So, actual demand never quite meets the forecast. Meanwhile, the retailer's order includes a little extra safety stock. Or maybe the retailer runs a promotion that is not communicated to the distributor, thus resulting in needing a larger order than was previously forecasted. These fluctuations impact forecasting for the distributor. The wholesale distributor had forecasted demand based on past orders from its retailers. But now those demand patterns have wider variability than the demand pattern at the retailer's checkout counters due to that safety stock or uncommunicated promotion. Sometimes inventory accumulates because demand is less than the forecast, and this means that the retailer's next order shrinks because it has a glut of diapers, so it becomes feast or famine of the chain. Of the supply chain, the manufacturer looks at the distributor's order demand pattern and makes its own forecasts, showing an even wider swing in variability. And this variability goes up the supply chain with ever wider swings. This is the bullwhip effect, which the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines as an extreme change in the supply position upstream in a supply chain generated by a small change in demand downstream in the supply chain. Inventory can quickly move from being backordered to being excess. This is caused by the serial nature of communicating orders up the chain with the inherent transportation delays of moving product down the chain. The bullwhip effect can be eliminated by synchronizing the supply chain. The bullwhip effect is shown in Exhibit 8-2. It affects all manner of supply chains that are based on serial forecasting by each independent division or company that touches the product as it travels from raw material to finished good. Communication of little more than orders, failure to communicate actual demand, plus over-reliance on forecasts are root causes of the bullwhip effect. One solution to the bullwhip effect, then, is better visibility in both directions, but especially of promotions, orders to replenish safety stock, and other information on actual demand. Another solution is to rely less on forecasting, which is the purpose of the next strategy discussed. Exhibit 8-2, bullwhip effect. Strategy, demand-driven enterprise. Since the bullwhip effect is driven by demand forecasts, a solution is to replace the forecasts with actual demand information to the degree this is feasible. This isn't necessarily a simple matter, but supply chain professionals have developed demand-driven techniques for letting actual orders, not forecasts, drive production and distribution while maintaining strategic buffers of inventory in key locations rather than spreading inventory throughout the system. Demand-driven planning, DDP, and its key ordering method, demand-driven material requirements planning, DDMRP, are central elements of many of these models. DDMRP is defined as a method for planning material needs that enables a company to build more closely to actual market requirements. ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary. DDP and DDMRP are discussed more elsewhere. The demand-driven supply network is defined in the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary as a situation in which a customer purchase initiates real-time information flows through the supply chain that consequently cause movement of product through the network. It is type of pull system, which the ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines as follows. 1. In production, the production of items only is demanded for use or to replace those taken for use. See, pull signal. 2. In material control, the withdrawal of inventory is demanded by the using operations. Material is not issued until a signal comes from the user. 3. In distribution, a system for replenishing field warehouse inventories in which replenishment decisions are made at the field warehouse itself, not at the central warehouse or plant. In the demand-driven supply chain, supply management is focused on customer demand. Instead of manufacturers planning their operations based on factory capacity and asset utilization, the demand-driven supply model uses a customer-centric approach that allows demand to drive supply chain planning and execution, moving the push-pull frontier, as it's called, back up the supply chain at least to the factory but often to first-tier suppliers too. Instead of producing to the forecast and sending finished products to inventory, the production process is based on actual demand information. There is, in other words, no fixed production schedule in a strictly demand-driven supply chain. Product is turned out only in response to actual orders on demand, in other words. This often leads to a decrease in lead times due to the ability to better anticipate incoming orders from the retailer. Even deliveries of raw material are determined using actual demand information. Note, however, that suppliers may still need to rely on forecasts to determine their production. The art of forecasting remains crucial, even in a demand-driven supply chain. The challenge in changing from forecast-driven, pushed systems to demand-driven, pull systems is in reducing inventory without also lowering customer satisfaction. When a demand-driven system is set up and managed properly, it can actually enhance customer service while reducing costs. But stockouts are a risk. In the forecast push process, the risk is related to the buildup of inventory all along the supply chain. Not only does inventory cost money while it sits in a retail stockroom, distribution center, or pre-production storage area, it runs the risk of becoming obsolete or irrelevant for a number of reasons. In a world of rapid innovation, inventory obsolescence is a real threat. Season closeout sales and discount resellers are ways of clearing out overstock. Magazine distributors destroy huge quantities of monthly magazines when they came back from retail outlets. Since magazines are inexpensive to produce and destroy compared to their retail price, the distributors would rather destroy 10 copies than miss one sale. Those are the results of producing to forecasts that no one trusts and purposely overstocking in case of unexpectedly high demand. In the demand pull make-to-order model, on the other hand, the risk is that orders will begin to come in above capacity, and all along the supply chain, there will be expensive activity to run the plant overtime, expedite more and faster transportation, or convince customers to wait or accept a substitute product. Running short of stock is also a risk in the forecast-driven supply chain. Forecasts can be wrong in either direction. Demand-driven enterprises therefore establish strategic inventory buffers and monitor the size of those buffers so that throughput can be kept high enough to satisfy most demand while keeping aggregate levels of inventory very low. They also rely more on make-to-order or assemble-to-order whenever feasible. In reality, most organizations pursue a push-pull strategy, and the point where push moves to pull is the key strategic decision. Once that decision has been made, building a demand-driven enterprise can require significant changes in all supply chain processes. The following are some major steps. Provide access to real demand data along the supply chain for greater visibility of the end customer. The first requirement is to replace the forecasts with real data. The only supply chain partner with access to these data firsthand is the retailer, and retailers in the past have been no more willing to share business data than any other company. The other partners lacked visibility, one of the main supply chain principles promoted by Apex. They simply cannot see what's going on with the end customer. But visibility is required in a pull system. With point-of-sale scanning or radio frequency identification, RFID, a retailer can transfer customer activity data to its suppliers continuously. Instead of producing to a forecast, manufacturers with immediate signals from the front lines can plan one day's production runs at the end of the prior day. They produce just enough to replace the sold items, establish trust, and promote collaboration among supply chain partners. Collaboration is implied in the sharing of information, but more is at stake than simply sharing sales information. Partners may have to invest in new technology and develop new systems to be able to use the real-time data. With orders going out without a schedule, all processes will have to be altered. Warehousing, less storage needed, packaging, shipping, and planning will all be handled differently in the new system. In return for the real-time data and subsequent reduction of inventory, suppliers and distributors have to agree to change their processes in whatever way necessary to make the new system function at the desired level of customer service. Increase agility of trade partners. Because the inventory buffers will be much reduced in this demand-driven supply chain, the trade partners need to develop agility, the ability to respond to the variability in the flow of orders based on sales. The plant, for example, may have to undergo considerable change if it has to produce several different kinds of products under the new circumstances. When making the forecast, a plant can run a larger volume of each product to send to inventory. When making to order, the plant may have to produce several different types of products in a day. There will be no room for long changeover times between runs of different products. Therefore, equipment, processes, work center layouts, staffing or setting, or all these things, may have to change to create the capacity required to handle the new system. Gartner's annual supply chain report, the AMR Supply Chain Top 25 for 2021, ranks the top 25 demand-driven supply chains, thereby underscoring the importance of this and other cutting-edge supply chain strategies. A link to this report is provided in the online resource center. Strategy, product type driven. The last business strategy we'll cover is based on a company having more than one supply chain, depending upon the types of products that are passing along the chain and other variables. For a product with a complex bill of material, many parts that combine into many components to transform the final product, a manufacturer may be bringing in materials from many suppliers. And these materials might range from low-priced commodities to fragile or sophisticated materials that require special shipping and handling. Suppliers might range from small specialized organizations to raw materials giants larger than the manufacturer. Some are key accounts, some might be occasional buyers. The finished products may be sold through several different channels, e-commerce, printed catalogs, commercial retail. These variables may combine in different ways, each suggesting its own type of supply chain strategy. And what is the right supply chain for your product? Marshall L. Fisher distinguished two types of products, functional versus innovative, that require different supply chain strategies. A functional product is defined as follows: mature products that tend to have a low profit margin and a predictable demand. ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary. Functional products change little from year to year and have longer life cycles, relatively low contribution margins, and little variety. Because demand for them is stable, they are fairly easy to forecast, with a low margin of forecasting error, perhaps around 10%, very few stockouts, and no end-of-season markdowns. The appropriate supply chain for these products should emphasize predictability and low cost with performance indicators such as high average utilization rate in manufacturing, minimal inventory with high inventory turns, short lead time, consistent with low cost, suppliers chosen for cost and quality, product design that strives for maximum performance and minimal cost. However, make-to-order functional products, such as replacement parts for customized equipment, usually have long lead times, 6 months to a year. Innovative products have unpredictable demand, relatively short life cycles, 3 months for seasonal clothing, many variants in each category and high contribution margins of 20 to 60%. They have average stockout rates from 10 to 40%, end-of-season markdowns in the range of 10 to 25% of regular price, and a margin of error on forecasts of 40 to 100%. However, the lead time to make them to order may be as low as 1 day and generally is no more than 2 weeks. Maintaining fast lead times may require fast and more expensive modes of transportation. The supply chain for innovative products should emphasize market responsiveness rather than physical efficiency, with performance indicators such as excess buffer capacity and significant safety stock of parts or finished items, aggressive reduction of lead times, suppliers chosen for agility, speed, volume, and production run flexibility and quality, rather than cost, modular design that postpones differentiation as long as possible. Innovative products, with their high margins and unpredictable demand, justify the extra expense for holding costs. Fisher also proposes, however, that manufacturers of innovative products can look for other solutions to the problem of unpredictable demand, such as aggressively reducing lead times and producing products to order rather than for inventory. What happens when a product can fall into either category? Fisher says that some products can be either innovative or functional. Automobiles fit that description, with a low-priced, no-frills car like a base model Chevrolet Spark representing the functional end of the spectrum and a Porsche representing the other end. Similarly, coffee can be functional or come from a high-end coffee shop, with the customer experience and the quality of the product being differentiators. Writing in Harvard Business School's Working Knowledge, Jonathan Burns, a professor at MIT, asserts that one supply chain is not enough. Two, three, or more would be preferable. One-size-fits-all supply chains may have been sufficient in the past, he believes, when that was the competitive norm, but advancements in information technology make it possible to have multiple dynamic supply chains that can accommodate different product and information flows. Burns breaks products into three categories: staples, seasonal products, and fashion products. Staples, which are much like Fisher's functional products, have steady year-round demand and low margins. White underwear is an example. Burns advises stocking staples only in retail outlets in small quantities and transporting them in truckload quantities. A full truckload is more cost-effective for the shipper than a partially loaded vehicle. Seasonal products could include outdoor patio furniture, holiday decor, etc., for which the demand is more predictable since it is tied to the holiday or season. Fashion products are like Fisher's innovative items, with unpredictable demand. Zara, the Spanish clothing brand, has two supply chains, one for staples and the other for fashion clothing. To get the fastest response time, Zara uses European suppliers for the fashion items. But for the more predictable demand items, it uses Eastern European suppliers that are known to have poor response times, not a concern, and lower cost. In addition to varying the supply chain by product type, Fisher recommends several other variables to consider: store type, seasonality, and product lifecycle. Demand varies considerably over the lifecycle of many products. The same item might have infrequent demand at first, more stable demand in its maturity phase, and falling demand at the end of its lifecycle. With more than one supply chain, the nucleus company can move its products from one chain to the other in response to changing variables such as type of channel, seasonal needs, or lifecycle stage.